Yashodhana Gana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashodhana Gana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato jaya mudirayet Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu Nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati uttama shloke Bhaktir bhavati naishtiki Hare Krishna, good morning. Today we are speaking of where I'm going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 6, Text 19. And today is also the auspicious disappearance day of Madhavendra Puri. So we'll hear about him as well. Medram tasya vinirvinam. Medram tasya vinirvinam. Padishnyam ka upavishat Padishnyam ka upavishat Reta samshena yena sav Reta samshena yena sav Anandam pratipadyate Anandam pratipadyate Medram tasya vinirghinam Svadishnyam ka upavishat Reta samshena yena sav Anandam pratipadyate Please chant. Samshena yena sav Anandam pratipadyate Anything that you said? Medram tasya vinirghinam Padishyamha Upavishat. Preta Samshena Yena Sa. Anandam Pratipadyate. Medram, genitals, tasya, of the gigantic form, vinir bhinam, being separated, svadishtyam, own position, ka, Brahma, the original living creature, upavishat, enter, Retasa Amshena, with the part of the semen, Yena, by which Aso, the living entity, Anandam, sex pleasure, Pratipadyate, experiences. Translation. When the genitals of the gigantic form separately become manifest, then Prajapati, the original living creature, entered into them with his partial semen, and thus the living entities can enjoy sex pleasure. Om Jnana Dhamaram Vasya Ranjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Mritam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Vyana Maha Om Vishnu Varaya Krishna Dushaya Vrithi Vishnu Vrithi 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 Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gurudevani, Pujani, Inhiri, Sri Shri 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 Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Tanya, Pavintya, Linda, Shri Advaita, Vyata, Shivas, Adi, Gora, Bhakti, Linda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 So when I first saw this, when I was speaking on this verse, I was a little bit stumped. I thought, okay, there's no perfect one they're going to say. But when I looked at what the context was, it started to make a lot more sense. And then there's a lesson that I was able to draw out from it. So this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, so far at least, in the beginning, the origin, or I can say the origin, but the Virat Rupa, this gigantic form, or universal form of the Lord, is described. And it goes into detail. And starting from, I think it's verse 10 or 11, there is a description of how the demigods are manifested from this universal form. And the role or the seva that these demigods perform in relation to the Supreme Lord, in relation to his universal form. So it's quite specific, but I pulled the lessons from it that I found quite valuable. So I'll give you an example. The way I was able to understand this, there's this wonderful book called Bhagavat Subodhani, I think it's called. It's an overview of Srimad Bhagavatam, canto by canto, chapter by chapter, with flow charts and connections. It's by Garanga Darshan Prabhu from Govardhan Eco Village. It's really helpful, especially for the more difficult to understand sections of Bhagavatam. And there, he had a flow chart that I wish I had a PDF of to put online or to put on the screen. But he said that these 10, 15 verses, they talk about a certain organ that's manifest on this form of the Virat Rupa. And that organ, say it's the mouth, it has a controlling deity, a deity who represents that organ and is serving in that capacity. And that organ has a certain function and a certain essential activity that's connected to it. So if it's a mouth, if it's the mouth of the Virat Rupa, then the controlling deity is Agni. And what's the function of the mouth is the voice. And what's that voice used for is to express oneself in words. This is given in one verse. And then the next, here is the palate of the Virat Rupa. This is controlling deity is Varunadev. The palate's function is to taste the tongue. And that's to taste everything, to eat. So every function that we have in our bodies originally comes from the Supreme Lord and his body, and it's explained in the Virat-rupa. In this gigantic universal form of the Lord, there are all these organs and the same functions that we have, and they're all controlled, or a better word than controlled, is served by a certain devotee or a demigod, and that is their service to represent a certain function, as well as other services. And so, in this particular verse, it's saying the sense organ of the genitals is controlled by Prajapati, and in which sex pleasure can be enjoyed. And then in the next few verses, you'll see a few more different functions of the body. So in one sense, you can see this and just think, okay, this is interesting information. It's telling us the origins of how our body functions in a very detailed way. And that's very useful information. But if you look at it from a different angle, you can see how everything is connected to Krishna, but not just Krishna, and his devotees. The demigods are very dear devotees of the Supreme Lord. And they have a very special service, a service that's appointed just for them, and maybe a thankless service. So there's a reason for every organ that we have in our body. There's a reason for every sense that we have, and a reason for every urge. So I was thinking, if this all comes from the Lord, it all comes from something spiritual, and it's all being controlled or served by a devotee, then ultimately all of our senses, all of our urges, all of our desires are connected with devotees and Krishna. So we can use them in a way to serve devotees and Krishna, or we can use it in a more degraded way. So, for example, in this verse, sex pleasure can be used in a very degraded way. So this is the number one factor which binds us to the material world, this desire. And if it's perpetuated over and over again, how can we ever leave this material world and think of having actual love, prema? Perverted reflection is lust, and therefore we're here. That's a degraded way to use it. Well, it's a devotional way to use it. Krishna says, I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. To use it to have children and give them an opportunity to become Krishna conscious in this lifetime. Therefore you use it in devotional service. And so every single organ, every single function, every sense, every urge that we have in this body can be thought of this way. So when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we come across a section like this that seemingly may just go over our heads. You can think about it, that there's actually a devotee connected to each one that you can pray to, that they're serving the Supreme Lord in doing this, and perhaps we can also serve the Supreme Lord and devotees in using our senses and our urges. So this is what I took away from this verse specifically. And there's sections like this often in Bhagavatam where maybe it's a list, right? There's this and this and this. There's no purport for a while, and it may just seem like a lot of information. But there's usually an overarching principle. There's usually a reason why these things are stated, not just simply for information. So today is also the disappearance day of Srila Madhavendra Puri. We're also just 3 days away from Gorkhanima. And I spent some time this past week hearing a lot about Madhavendra Puri. All I knew about Madhavendra Puri was the old puppet show about Madhavendra Puri. You might have seen it. And that's the story. It's the famous story of Kirchor Gopinath and how Gopinath stole a pot of sweet rice for his devotee Madhavendra Puri. But Madhavendra Puri is so, so important, and I was so struck by, in the middle of Chaitanya Charitamrita, all of a sudden, there's this flashback, and there's so much time spent on two stories, Madhavendra Puri and then and Gopal and Gopinath, and the story of Sakshi Gopal. And so I wanted to speak a little bit about the importance of Madhavendra Puri, his life, of course, this wonderful story, and also his connection to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the lessons we can pull from it. In the world in general, it's a common thing to celebrate or to give honor to forefathers or those who came before us, right? If you want to understand how to appreciate what we have now, we have to think back who gave us something. In America, we have July 4th, celebrating founding fathers, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, celebrating those who served in the war, to appreciate what we have now. And this actually stems from Vedic culture. we celebrate the appearance day, the disappearance day, different Vaishnavas, because it's because of their sacrifice and example, we have the situation that we can practice Krishna consciousness in today. So Madhavendra Puri is one of those personalities for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. His position is very important. There is an analogy given in Chaitanya Charitamrita of the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the trunk of this tree. And from the tree, this Mahaprabhu bears fruits of Krishna Prema. He's a gardener. But of this tree, there is a seed, or the root of it, is known as, or is Srila Madhavendra Puri. And what does this mean? Madhavendra Puri is setting the stage for Mahaprabhu's arrival. Madhavendra Puri in our Gaudiya Sampradaya is a very important personality. He is, in the spiritual world, his position is a Kalpavriksha tree, which I found very interesting. He is a Kalpavriksha tree in Goloka Vrindavan, and he serves in the Rasa Mandap. And therefore, he witnesses the conjugal activities of Radha and Krishna. And therefore, he is the first in our lineage of the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya to exhibit ecstatic loving symptoms in the Madhurya Ras. And this is so important because what was Mahaprabhu's whole point of coming was to experience the symptoms of Srimati Radharani, the love, the bhava she had for Krishna. And so the stage had to be set. He is the spiritual master of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya is also the one, as we know, who called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come. He saw this scenario, life on earth as it was in Kali Yuga. And therefore he called and begged and cried out for Mahaprabhu to come. So that setting the stage didn't just start with Advaita Acharya. Actually it started with Madhavendra Puri. He was always, just like you would hear about Mahaprabhu, connected to Krishna in such a deep and powerful way. There was always tears pouring from his eyes. Everything reminded him of Krishna. It said when he would see a dark rain cloud, he would just think of the darkish complexion of Shyam Sundar and faint on the ground for 6 hours. In Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he comments in commentary to Chaitanya Bhagavat that when we see a rain cloud, at least then in India, you see a rain cloud, either you think, oh no, the rains are coming, my crops, or oh yes, the rains are coming, my crops need it, it's so hot. But who sees the rain clouds, thinks of Shyam Sundar, and falls unconscious for 6 hours at a time. So this is Madhavendra Puri. And he was so ecstatic, but he was also seen as very morose and unhappy. But that unhappiness stemmed from one thing only, and that's that he could see all the conditioned souls suffering because they didn't have love for Krishna, because they didn't have bhakti awakened in their heart. And therefore he was very sad by that. And so he didn't speak to many people, he didn't ever want it to become taken out of his absorption. But before I speak a little bit up on the famous story of Madhavendra Puri, I want to give some context as to when this story is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's stated when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, after being in Shantipur at the home of Advaita Acharya and agreeing to make Jagannath Puri his headquarters, he walks on the way to Puri and he stops at the deity of Gopinath in Ramuna, which is about 5 hours' drive in Orissa on the way from Bengal to Puri. But prior to this, if we go back quite some years, there is Mahaprabhu's first very significant transformation in his life. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is a book full of relationships. There's always relationships with devotees and other devotees, Mahaprabhu and his relationship with devotees. You see so many interactions. We learn so much how to interact with devotees, how to appreciate, how to worship, respect one another. Chaitanya Charitamrita is also a book about transformations. Mahaprabhu's whole experience is one of taking the role as a pandit, Nimai pandit, and then receiving the Maha Mantra and becoming completely transformed. Taking sannyas and becoming even more transformed. And every step of his life is meeting other devotees, key people, changing their life, and therefore they go on and change someone else's life. So it's a book of transformation, and it's also a book of miracles. There's so many miraculous things that logic can't explain that happen in this book, and in the stories. And Madhavendra's Puri story is one that contains all three of these things. So when Mahaprabhu took sannyas, and he took initiation, and he approached Ishvarapuri. Ishvarapuri had said that, "You're a fool. What kind of fool are you? You're just studying Vedanta. You have no qualification to study Vedanta. I'll give you this mantra. This mantra contains the essence of everything." So Mahaprabhu, he gets this mantra, he chants it, and he says, "While chanting the holy name of the Lord in pure ecstasy, I lose myself, and thus I laugh, cry, and dance, and sing just like a madman." And there's a very wonderful verse. He goes back to Ishvarapuri and says, "Kiva mantra dila gosai, what mantra have you given me? Kiva tara bhal, what strength does this mantra have? Japite japite mantra gorila bhaga. I'm chanting, japite japite, I'm chanting this mantra, and it's made me just like a madman. What mantra have you given me?" And this is the Hare Krishna mantra that was received by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, from then on, his mission began. He was completely transformed. And everywhere he went, he induced everybody to chant Hare Krishna, and this Sankirtan movement began. So this transformation of Mahaprabhu happened, and the pastimes continue, and then again, another transformation happens, and that's his taking of sannyas. When Mahaprabhu takes sannyas, then again his desire to go to Vrindavan increases even more. And Nityananda Prabhu, he very carefully sways him away and brings him to the house of Advaita Acharya in Shantipur. And, "No, this is the Yamuna River, actually it's the Ganga." And so he redirects him. And he says, "Now is not the time for you to go to Vrindavan." So while there, the agreement is made with Mother Sachi, "Okay, I will stay nearby. I will make Jagannath Puri my headquarters." So now, another very big event is about to happen in Mahaprabhu's life. He's going to Jagannath Puri. He's going to see the deity of Lord Jagannath. Now, who is Lord Jagannath? Jagannath is Krishna in separation from Radharani and the gopis. This is the form of Jagannath. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He is wanting to experience Radha Bhava. Therefore, he's Krishna in separation, or is experiencing Radharani in separation from Krishna. So you can imagine when the two meet, Krishna in separation from Radharani, Radharani in separation from Krishna. It's a very ecstatic, very jubilant, very potent moment. This is the pinnacle of the ecstatic love that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to experience. Mahaprabhu is on his way to experience that, and when he sees Jagannath for the first time, he cannot contain his overwhelming feelings of ecstasy, so much so that he just faints on the ground, appears to be like a dead man. So we're about to hear this. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is preparing us to hear this very exquisite pinnacle pastime that has so much love involved in it. But before that, we have to be prepared. We have to understand a little bit of the relationship with the deity, one's relationship with the deity, and how the deity can reciprocate in our life. And therefore, Mahaprabhu, he tells this story. "I will tell you a story that I've heard from my spiritual master, Ishvarapuri." And he tells the devotees of this story. And this is where Madhavendra Puri's Leela is spoken in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in this context. So Madhavendra Puri was in Govardhan by Govinda Kund. And if you've been to Govinda Kund, it's so beautiful, just by Govardhan. And he would chant all day, all night. And he would not eat, he would not sleep. And so one day, one boy came to him, and he said, "Oh Gosai, oh Maharaj," because he's a sannyasi, and he was sitting there performing his bhajan. And he said, "Oh please, I'm noticing that you're not eating anything, that you must be so hungry. Please take this pot of milk." And Madhavendra Puri opened his eyes and he thought, "This is the most beautiful, stunning boy I've ever seen in my entire life. Who could he be? I say, oh boy, who are you? Because I'm just a coward boy in this village, and in this village no one goes hungry. So I have brought you a pot of milk. And they say, well, how do you know I have not eaten? And I say, oh, well, all the village women, they come by and get water from the kind they've seen you've not eaten. And no one goes hungry. This is our culture. So please take it. So a little bit hesitant, just wondering, who is this boy, Radhavendrapuri? He takes the milk. And later on, he drinks the milk. And it's the most amazing milk he's ever had in his life. It's so good. He's licking the barrel, and then he starts eating the pot because it's so delicious. So this whole time afterwards, he keeps thinking about, who is this boy? Who is this boy that gave me this milk? And he goes on this way. He's chanting. And one day he dozes off. And while he dozes off, a boy comes to him in his dream. And he said, I'm that same boy. I'm Krishna. My name is Gopal. And I've been hiding in the bush for many years. There's a bush nearby behind Govindakund. Please go there and retrieve me, install me in a temple, and worship me. And don't forget, I'm very hungry. So Madhavendrapuri woke up. Oh my gosh, Krishna has come to me in a dream. He got the locals, he got the priests, the pujaris, he told them about the dream. They're very excited. They went. They dug up in the bush, and they saw a little pinky, the left pinky of Gopal, who holds Govardhan Hill. They kept digging. They saw this beautiful deity, a deity originally installed by Vajranam, but this deity was, in the course of invasion, hidden to be protected. So a huge festival happened, and Madhavendrapuri organized so much prasadam, big Anakut festival, and it went on for days, and it was so wonderful that every village in the nearby Govardhan area said, tomorrow I will do the festival. In the next village, tomorrow I'll do the festival. So for one whole month, there was festivities like this. And the temple was built, and the deity of Gopal was installed. So like this, so much nice service went on in Govardhan. But after some time, Madhavendrapuri had another dream. And he said, yes, you've bathed me with tens and thousands of buckets of water from Govindakund. You've applied so much scented oil on me. But here in Braj, it's so hot. If you've been to Vrindavan in the summer, it's really, really hot. In Govardhan especially. He said, it's so hot and I cannot bear it anymore. Please go to the Malayan Hills, just outside of Jagannath Puri, and get me some sandalwood and come back. Please go immediately. Madhavendrapuri, he woke up. He thought, the Lord has instructed me. He left, barefoot, just like that. And this is really an example of real following instructions. It's just no thoughts, no, what does it mean? No, Krishna spoke to me, or the instructions of the spiritual master are clear, and the devotee just goes for it. So he left. Now, Jagannath Puri is about 1,000 miles from Braj. It's not an easy journey. There's no airplane, there's no train, there's no car. He traveled by foot, he traveled barefoot. And so he made this long, very difficult journey, and on the way, he stopped at Ramuna. He was always thinking of his deity Gopal, and he heard there's a deity here named Gopinath, so I want to go to Darshan. So there he stopped, he saw the temple of Gopinath, and he began to sing and dance and cry in front of his deity. And he was so happy to take Darshan, and all the locals were noticing, who is this Mahabhagavat who has come to worship the deity of Gopinath, to be in the presence, to take darshan of Gopinath. And then he saw that there was a very nice bhoga offering happening. So he asked the priest, I heard there's this nice bhoga offering happening, and I heard that very nice prasadam is made here. Could you please give me the recipes I want to cook for my Gopal back in Govardhan? And he said, yes, there's many preparations, but there's one preparation, one which is most special, and it's famous throughout the world. And it's called Amrita Keli. This is a special kheer that's made just for Gopinath. And just at this moment, he saw this 12 pots of amazing kheer coming on the altar. And Madhavendrapuri thought, oh wow, if I could just see what it tastes like, then I would know how to make it, and I can make it for Gopal. And he caught himself right at this moment. He thought, oh my god, I'm lusting over the bhoga. What am I doing? This is sense gratification. He became very morose. He did not say a word. When the RT finished, he got up, left. He found an empty marketplace, sat there alone, enchanted, in regret. He felt so bad. And I was thinking in this regard, it's how many times, you know, cooking something at home, really hungry, make an offering, 2-second offering, go and eat it, or make an offering. The plate might still be on the altar, but I'm still eating the prasadam. This is the mood of a devotee, is really thinking in terms of Krishna, in terms of, oh no, I'm thinking about the bhoga while it's being offered. This is improper. It's meant for Krishna's pleasure first. So Madhavendra Puri is teaching this lesson. But after the seva was done for the night, when the pujari went to bed, then he had a dream. And here, the deity of Gopinath comes in the dream. He said, you offered me 12 pots of sweet rice. But did you know? You only took back 11. There's one more pot, and I stole it. So this pot is hiding behind a curtain, right behind where I'm standing. Please come and deliver it to Madhavendra Puri. And so the priest woke up, and he thought, oh my gosh, Gopinath has come to me in a dream. He's stolen a pot of sweet rice. So he goes and he checks, and there's the pot of sweet rice. So this special, thick Amrita Keli, he takes it, and he just runs into the street. Who is Madhavendra Puri? Where is Madhavendra Puri? Gopinath has stolen a pot of sweet rice for you. Madhavendra Puri, please show yourself. And everyone says, oh my god, Gopinath stole a pot of sweet rice from Madhavendra Puri? Who's Madhavendra Puri? This is how you find people back in the day. You don't go on Facebook and search their name and send them a message. Just, Madhavendra Puri, show yourself. And the whole village came to know Madhavendra Puri, the one who Gopinath stole a pot of sweet rice for. And so he found Madhavendra Puri. And Madhavendra Puri identified themselves and they offered obeisances to each other. They both realized what a great fortune we've had. The Lord has appeared to both of us in our dreams. But Madhavendra Puri, he became very aware that everybody is thinking highly of me. So he was very happy that the Lord had saved him the pot of sweet rice. He took it, but immediately he left that night. He said, I'm leaving here. I do not want the praise. I do not want the pratishta. I am no one. I'm insignificant. If I stay here, they will glorify me and they will think me to be a very highly elevated person. And so he left. And this is very striking. This is very, very difficult to do. Because even though we practiced or tried to be in a humble state of mind, in the mood of amanina manavina, but actually it's so, so difficult. And as human beings, we have a need for praise, we have a need to be appreciated, a need to be seen. But when Madhavendra Puri, his heart was so full, it was so content in his relationship with Krishna, he felt so seen by Krishna that he did not have this need of pratishta, of name and fame from others to fulfill that need. It came from his relationship with Krishna. And he knew that if he sought that fame, it would destroy his bhakti. So he left. And I wanted to make the point that this doesn't necessarily mean that this is how we should be in ourselves. We should think in this way, not desiring anything from ourselves. But when it comes to glorifying other devotees, we don't put the same principle. We don't think, okay, I don't want you to get puffed up, so I'm not going to appreciate you. Actually, the opposite holds true. It's very important to appreciate devotees and to recognize the seva they do, recognize just them being themselves, because that really is so helpful. But when it comes to our own bhakti and our own self, we shouldn't desire this from others. But this is how a community functions. We're appreciating, we're cultivating respect and recognition and seeing others, but we're not expecting it for ourselves. And in this way, we create a very loving community without envy. Perhaps one of the main reasons why devotees may leave the community or leave the Hare Krishna movement is because people weren't nice to me, or no one recognized me, or I wasn't seen. And I'm sure many of you have seen that in devotees' lives. It's a very sad thing, and it's important to recognize others. But for our own selves, we should have this mood of not desiring, not wanting fame for ourselves, but giving it all to others. So Madhavendra Puri, he ran away, but every village he went to, the word had already spread. Oh, you're Madhavendra Puri. You're the one who Gopinath stole this pot of sweet rice for. In fact, they renamed the Didi. He's not just Gopinath, he's Kheer Chor Gopinath. He's the one who stole Kheer. For who? For Madhavendra Puri. So everywhere he went, he just had to hide. And he went back to Puri. He thought, okay, I came here for a goal, was to get sandalwood. And he goes to the priest at the Jagannath temple, and he tells him the whole story. The priest says, yes, yes, I already know, but everybody here knows. But we're so in awe of your relationship with Gopinath. You must be such an advanced devotee. We want to serve you. What can we do for you? And Madhavendra Puri says, yes, please get 82 pounds of sandalwood for me. And you're thinking, this is a little bit, he didn't want to accept the seva and praise from devotees. But now all of a sudden he's accepting it. But the difference is that he's accepting it for the service of the Lord. He's accepting the praise and the seva from others so that he can serve Krishna. But when it comes to his own self-glorification, he's not interested at all. So very excited, the devotees in Puri said, yes, we'll do this. And I looked it up, how expensive sandalwood is. So 1 kilogram of sandalwood, $600. So 82 pounds is roughly $22,000 of sandalwood. It's not cheap. And there's restrictions on how much sandalwood you can gather. It's not an easy thing to get. And not only that, he didn't transport it by cargo. He carried it. He carried 82 pounds of sandalwood. And his idea was, I'm going to walk back 1,000 miles with 82 pounds of sandalwood for Gopal, because that's what he asked me to do. So Madhavendra Puri, he did this, or he prepared to do it, but he thought, on the way back, I'll stop one more time to see Gopinath and maybe get a little more sweet rice. So he walked back to Ramuna, and on his way back, he stopped and saw the deity. And that night, Gopal again came to him in a dream. And he said, you have surrendered everything to me. So much trouble you are taking, risking your life for my pleasure. But actually, know that myself, Gopal, is non-different from Gopinath. I am the same Gopinath that you are seeing in Ramuna, the same as your Ishtadev, Gopal, and Govardhan. Please use all the camphor, all the sandalwood for the whole summer and perform the Chandan Yatra festival here in Ramuna for Gopinath. I am the same Krishna. I will feel cool in Govardhan by the sandalwood being applied to the body of Gopinath. And like this, the first Chandan Yatra festival happened. Madhavendra Puri did not actually return to Govardhan. He stayed in Ramuna for the rest of his life. He sacrificed so much for the pleasure of Gopal. He left Vrindavan, sacrificed his body, really walking 1,000 miles. There's so many lessons in his life, but the most evident thing that I found was the relationship with his deity and the relationship that he cultivated with Krishna through the deity. And I was thinking, why did Mahaprabhu just take the time to tell these two stories? The story of Madhavendra Puri and Sakshigopal. Sakshigopal is the Gopal who witnessed to defend his devotee. I mean, they're both such intimate stories of a devotee and his deity. And it's to show us the importance of deity worship and the importance of the presence of a deity in our life and prepare the devotees for what they're about to witness, which is the darshan of Jagannath. And it can be very difficult to look at the deities and think, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is really here. 50 years ago, on Sunday, will be 50 years of Gaurantai being installed. And I'm sure these Gaurantai deities have transformed thousands and thousands of lives, whether one may know it or not. They've kept so many people close to them. But it's very difficult, especially for our perhaps Western minds, which is not used to deities. We're not growing up in this culture. that here in this statue form is actually God, and I can have a relationship in some way. For some, it might be easier to think, no, God is just an energy. Let's keep it simple. It's just an energy. Let's not put a form to it. Or for some, it might be even easier to think, forget the whole thing. I am God. Forget the whole thing. It's too complicated. But if you really put the effort to worship a deity, then the deity reciprocates in the same manner. And this is what happened with the deity of Gopal and Gopinath and Madhavendrapuri. Madhavendrapuri put so much love and attention and detail and sensitivity in his relationship with the deity that Gopal reciprocated. And the deity was manifested really just for the loving reciprocation of Madhavendrapuri, of his devotee. In fact, why did the deities even come in the first place? Why does Krishna take the form of the deity? Why does he need to? It's really for us. It's really for us to be able to reciprocate, to perform devotional service, to cultivate a relationship. He proves this point here. Gopal says, actually, I'm the same as Gopinath. You apply chandan to him, the chandan gets applied to me. God is one, it's the same in this deity or that deity. So why did he have to appear in many forms? It's really for our own benefit. Krishna appears as the deity so that we can serve him. We can actually realize he's there. And if you do this with love and devotion, what's to say that Radha-Shyam Sundar, Krishna Balaram, Gaurinitai won't appear in your dream? They won't steal a pot of sweet rice for you. They won't steal a Mangalarti sweet for you. It's possible. It's proven here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this is why these stories are so faith-giving. It's about faith. Madhavendrapuri had faith in the deity. He had faith that Gopal and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are the same. This deity is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I will worship him as such, and he is my life and soul. And therefore, to see the life of Madhavendrapuri, 600 years later, we're still speaking about him, and we're still getting so much nourishment, and hearing about his story and the story of Gopinath and Gopal, it gives us so much faith. But yeah, actually, Krishna is present in the deity, and I can also have a relationship. And if I also worship him with love and devotion and sacrifice, real renunciation, then I can experience this wonderful relationship. And so, I really felt that Madhavendrapuri is such an important foundation setter in our Gaudiya Sampradaya. He's taught so many important lessons, and he really set the stage for Mahaprabhu's arrival. And I guess I can say from a personal note, I'm not someone who is the best worshiper of a deity. At home, it's more my wife who worships our Gaudiya, and I've started the last 2-3 weeks learning how to do the seva here, and I've seen that a whole other side to devotional service and to devotees and their relationship with Krishna, and how that is shown through the worship of the deity. And it's so intimate and it's so personal. And the first time I dressed during Thai a few weeks ago, it was so difficult also. I felt so close but so far away. The deity is here just inches away from me, but I feel so distant in the heart. But this is how our relationship can develop. This is a good thing. And so after this experience and hearing about Madhavendrapuri, I can see the connection that worshiping the deity, and this doesn't have to necessarily be archana and puja on the altar at home. Worshiping Gaurinitai means chanting the holy name, means doing kirtan for the deities. This is also worship. This is the highest worship. This is the yuga dharma. And by worshiping the deities and thinking that the deities, yes, they really are real, and I'm going to cultivate relationship with this deity and see Krishna is actually present, then he really does become present. So I'll end there. I'd love to hear if anyone has any comments or questions, and just pass them the Madhavendrapuri or also the Bhagavatam verse. The Mother of God.
I'm okay. Thank you.
Mother of Gatnika, and then you can pass it on. Okay.
Thank you for the wonderful class on your realizations. I wanted to ask, do you have any idea why Madhavendra Puri didn't go back to Vrindavan? I never knew that he didn't. That he didn't. You mentioned that he didn't go back to Vrindavan.
Yeah, I heard that he didn't. I don't know why. I don't know his age also. I wasn't aware of what his age was at that point. Maybe someone here would know more details.
Any speculation on that? Philosophical speculation.
I can say that I was thinking about this recently, how some devotees choose to leave their body in the Dham and some don't. I was specifically thinking of Bhakti Chaitamaraj, which is this appearance day, I think it was, or appearance day was a few days ago. And I was thinking how he chose to leave his body in Gitanagari, and how Vrindavan Dham is more than just a physical location. And he made that space the Dham, not just from his purity, but also from seeing Radha Damodar as Narayana and Krishna. But their presence in Gitanagari made this Vrindavan Dham. And so I guess philosophical speculation, or a lesson to be learned, I could say, is that principle is not just something recent that we can see in devotees now who perhaps have a timeline to their life. They know when they will pass away in the next 6 months, 1 year, etc. But they choose to not leave the body in Vrindavan Dham, but rather see their current temple, or their current area, as Vrindavan Dham, make it so. So I saw it as that, as the deity of Gopinath and the temple of Aruna is Vrindavan, and too. And Gopal proved this. He said, "I'm non-different." Gopal and Govardhan is saying this, and that means Gopinath is the same deity. Krishna always resides in Vrindavan. He always resides in Braj. So therefore, Aruna must have also been Govardhan by the statement of Gopal. That's all I think.
Ram Govind, thank you so much. You really conveyed your devotional ecstasy at the end here. And I never ever understood the connection, and you made how Madhavendra Puri was witnessing in Krishna Lila, witnessing the Rasa Stali, the conjugal pastimes. And he, in the line of disciplic succession, established Radha Krishna worship, and how setting the stage for Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy of feeling separation from Radharani. In the verse in the Bhagavatam, did you think about it? Because in the previous verse, it also uses the same word. Here it uses partial semen, and in the previous verse, partial touch. Isn't that interesting?
I'm looking for the word in Sanskrit. Which word is it?
In Sanskrit, it's amsena.
Amsena, yeah.
Partial. That was interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if I have an answer, to be honest. I'm not sure if I have an answer.
Okay.
I only studied this section of the Bhagavatam briefly, but I'm thinking of...
You did really well, though, on this verse. Congratulations.
Thank you. And speaking about Madhavendra Puri and setting the stage and him as a Kalpa Viksha tree in his position in the spiritual world, I do want to mention that there's, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, a description of the Disappearance Day festival today, celebrated by Advaita Acharya. And it's so elaborate, and it's just so how all the devotees work together to put on this festival. And even Mahaprabhu was surprised by the amount of flowers and boga that comes from all the devotees, and how much love Advaita Acharya had for Madhavendra Puri, and how he showed that, and how Mahaprabhu was so pleased by this. And Madhavendra Puri is the a guru of Avita Acharya. I've also heard of Kundalini Kundalini and several very, Ishvara Puri, of course, and several other significant devotees in Chaitanya Lila. But I was thinking that I always hear the one who called for Mahaprabhu as Avita Acharya. He's known and celebrated in this way, but of course we're in the succession, so where does his inspiration come from? And knowing that it comes from Srila Madhavendra Puri, and seeing how his mood was, like his bhava was so similar, it just makes so much sense. And it's, you know, it's like, where did this, you know, the super succession, Raghunuga Bhakti started to become more present? And of course with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but in this example of the tree of Chaitanya and the root being Madhavendra Puri, you actually see, actually it comes from Madhavendra Puri setting the stage, and Mahaprabhu takes that and fructifies it and makes all these fruits of Krishna Prema and spreads it, picks them and spreads it all over the world. And that's Madhavendra Puri's significance and his establishment within our sampradaya. Thank you.
Thank you. Unfortunately, I have three things, but they're all short.
It's fine.
I always think about the Chandan Yatra festival that we have every year, you know, but I never really connected Madhavendra Puri and the Shri Gopinath deity as being the origin of that.
At least in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, this is how I've heard it. Perhaps in other Sampradayas or in Braj, it was celebrated before, but I'm thinking in terms of when was it celebrated in Gaudiya Vaishnava history, the earliest account that I've heard is with Madhavendra Puri.
Makes it a little more special that way.
Yeah.
Because you know, you're thinking, you know, here he is carrying this 82 pound.
Yeah.
One other thing was when you were telling the story about him sitting on the tree there and then this young boy coming, one other thing that I heard about that was that the young boy said, you know, he brought him the milk and he said, and I'll come back later and get the pot. I don't know if you've heard that, you know. And then so he sat there and waited for a long time, you know, and then he realized that who it was. And then he lamented and he was thinking, oh my God, you know. And then apparently what he did was he broke that pot up and he kept it and he ate that whole pot for a year. For a long time after.
Yeah, I've heard it a different way. I've heard that the pot of sweet rice that he had from Gopinath, are you speaking of Gopinath or Gopal? I heard with Gopinath the pot that he kept that and broke it every day for a year to
increase.
And then I heard with the pot of milk, he ate it immediately. In another version, I heard of the story is that instead of chanting by Govindakund, and he was just there for some time, he was doing Govardhan Harikam and fasting, and he stopped at Govindakund. Mm-hmm. But I guess different details from different sources.
Yeah. And one other thing is, you know, that you're talking about the deities, you know, and how important it is to, you know, just our, you know, we're seeing the deities. And I still remember as a young devotee, and I was at the temple in New Bhadrak Ashram, Denver. And it was funny, the Brahmacharya Ashram was actually kind of behind the altar in the temple. It was up there. And one time, I'm sure everybody's experienced that, you know, where you get kind of taken over by some, in your dreams, you know, you get kind of attacked by some. And so I still remember, to this day, I still think about it. So I couldn't break out of this dream, you know, it was like I was being taken over, you know. And so what I did was, somehow or other, the deities Radha Govinda, because I'd been doing some pujari work there, and I'd put the deities down in their bed at night, you know, and all of a sudden I just saw them in my mind, you know, seeing them, and immediately I just by seeing them, just broke it, you know, and I was thinking, wow. I mean, the deities having that, have seen those deities, and, you know, they can protect us so much. So, that's what I hope.
Thank you. One last thought came to mind, and then I'll have to go to Rinpoche Sherry's question. There is, I was once sitting in a class, it was a Zoom class with Krishna Shekhar Maharaj, who I think at one point was maybe a Europe's deity minister, and he's done a lot of research in deity worship. And the question came to him, what's the difference between a three-dimensional murti of the Lord and a two-dimensional painting? You know, is there one significance over the other? And I thought it was quite a good question. And he gave this story of, and again it comes to the point of faith in Krishna, and not that Krishna may be present here but not there. And Srila Prabhupada was traveling somewhere on an airplane, and his servant was with him, and he recalls the story that Prabhupada was sitting on his seat in the plane. He pulls down the tray. He takes out his bead bag to chant, and from his bag, he takes out a photo, and he puts it on the tray. And the servant's thinking, okay, he's gonna take maybe a picture of his favorite deities, or a picture of Krishna, or a painting. And the picture is a hand-drawn, almost stick figure-like picture from a kid of Krishna. Some child must have just scribbled Krishna and gave it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada put it on the table, he took his bead bag and looked very intensely at the deity of Krishna and started to chant, as if it was really Krishna right there. And he recalls it, this was such a stunning sight. How is he just looking at a stick? Does Prabhupada see that Krishna is actually in the stick figure drawing that the little boy made? And he did, he was chanting as if he was. So Srila Prabhupada, that this is Krishna, that picture is also Krishna. For us who are not at this elevated level, that having a very beautiful 3D murti of the Lord does help us and develop our attraction. But it doesn't mean that one deity that may not look as nice to our eyes, or a photo that doesn't look as nice, is not, the relationship with Krishna is still there. And I just thought that was so beautiful. It came to mind when you were speaking about deities and your dreams. Anyways, I wanted to share that. Yes.
Thank you for such a sweet class. So you mentioned that we don't know age of Madhavendra Puri, or his, we don't know much about Madhavendra Puri's age. Mm-hmm. Huh? So he met Nityananda Mahaprabhu. Mm-hmm. He traveled with Lord Nityananda Mahaprabhu. So we can deduce that mm-hmm. he was there, and Nityananda Mahaprabhu is about 14 plus, around 14 years older than Lord Chaitanya, something like that. So we can deduce that, mm-hmm. and this was before, of course, mm-hmm. Ishwarapuri gave sannyas. Ishwarapuri wouldn't accept disciple while probably Madhendra Puri was mm-hmm. on the planet. And after that it says, so maybe that's why he remained around Bengal, because he had to meet all of them, and you mm-hmm. know. And it says that after those travels, Madhendra Puri really contemplated that he was so fortunate. And Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Leela says that 9158 to 192, after those travels, he decided to depart from this mm-hmm. planet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you. Definitely find his age. It might be also written, but a lot of information also, Chaitanya Bhagavat. So I think that's it for us on time. Thank you all for staying a little extra. And for hearing this passing of all of these people. Shri Gantara Shri Bhagavatam Ki, Shri Madhavendra Puri Ki, Shri Prabhupada Ki.